Turn with me, if you will, to the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. And we're going to read beginning at verse 1 down through verse 11. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Our subject today, as we look at the general theme on the God of the Bible, our subject today is the decree of God. In our study of the Lord thus far, we have seen that Jehovah God is the eternal Spirit, infinite, perfect, and the source, support, and end of all things. Yet at the same time, we found out that the Lord is a personal, self-conscious, moral being, as well as a voluntary agent. Now today we're going to look at Jehovah God from a different aspect, where we shall view the decree of God and see how he is in control of all things and how we need that at this present hour. You see, man is beginning to get fearful for the things that are beginning to take place upon this earth. And I want to say to you very kindly, they're not going to get any better, they're going to get worse. And yet the Scripture tells us when we begin to see these things come to pass, then lift up our heads and look up, because our redemption draweth nigh, and our redemption is the Lord Jesus Christ. If ever the believers need to stand out, they need to stand out in these days of crisis and stress and strain at this hour. You see, our Lord is in control of all things. And we find today we're going to look at the decree of God. Our lesson falls into two simple and yet profound categories. First, we shall look at the meaning of the term, the decree of God. And then secondly, we shall view for a moment or two the characteristics of the decree of God. Now this study is probably a new study to the vast majority of you, so I urge you to listen very carefully and follow along in your Bible. I hope also that if it's a blessing to your heart, you'll share it with someone else and tell them to tune into the broadcast as you have tuned in today to listen to my voice. To the average person of today, God is portrayed as an invisible something which cannot be understood, but which is somehow in our lives. The vast majority do not desire to communicate with this God until or unless they are in such a bind from which they cannot extricate themselves. Only then will they call upon him for assistance, and when it is granted, these then wish to be left alone by the Lord God of heaven. On the other hand, there are some who have a minute knowledge of the Lord, and these have put Jehovah God into the category of not being able to save the individual unless that person allow him to do so, or allow the Lord to do so. God is portrayed by these folks as a helpless God, subject to the whim and will of man. And this conception is held by the vast majority of religious people, probably most of you listening to me, who are listening to me at this hour. It's because of this ignorance and misunderstanding that we have embarked upon this series of messages regarding the Lord of glory, who is Jehovah God. You see, when people say that God can't save man unless man allow him to, this is where it's summed up. Well, the Lord has done all he can do now for you, and now the rest is up to you. And if you get to heaven or you go to hell, God's going to point his finger at you and say, I tried to save you and you wouldn't let me. Beloved, I've heard preachers say these things, and I'll tell you right now, it's a travesty against the Word of God and against the character of our Lord. As one studies the Word of God and views the wonder of creation, he is made to bow in reverence and adoration to the God of the Bible. Both creation and the Word of God reveal the Lord to be a God of beauty, power, diversity, and individuality. The beauty of the trees in autumn is unmatched by anything man can portray. Yet every leaf, as well as every snowflake when it comes, is of a different design. Coupled with this, we see the flowers of the air and the birds, or the flowers of the field, I should say, and the birds of the air. They neither toil nor spin. Yet our Lord arrays the fields with the beautiful flowers. The birds neither sow nor reap. Yet our Lord feeds them, and the birds are such a vast a number on this earth that the richest man in this world could not feed the birds of this earth for one day if he had to buy their food. While we see the beauty and the diversity and the provision of God set forth in creation, it is by the Word of God we are enabled to see and understand more of our blessed Lord. Now, as I said before, knowing creation, or I should say loving creation, isn't going to save you, my friend. You've got to come to a personal knowledge of the Lord God of heaven, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, we find this, what it says about our God. Listen to it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, we read these words. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Then in Proverbs 16 and verse 4, we read again, the Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Here in these portions of the Word of God is set forth the decree of God. By the term decree, we mean the purpose or the determination of God with respect to future things. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. God's decree relates to all future things without exception. Whatsoever is done in time was foreordained before time began. God's purpose was concerned with everything, whether small or great, good or evil. Although God is not the author of sin, nor can He be associated with it. In simpler terms, God's decree has to do with all things, past, present, and future, and all things, whether good or evil, are under God's control and will accomplish His purpose. This is what is meant by the scripture which said, God works all things after the counsel of His will. Now, do you know this great God? Oh, I hope you do. If this thought staggers you, and it does when first realized, let me give you another statement. God, being God, has a purpose for everyone to fulfill. Whether that purpose ever comes to know the Lord as Savior and Redeemer, or dies and goes to hell. This puts the Lord on the throne and man under His control, where he is and where he should be. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35 we read, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? This is a far cry from the modern-day conception of God. But, beloved, this is what the Scripture teaches, and this is what our Lord is all about. Let's look again at the decree of God for just a moment. The decree of God has certain characteristics to it which merit our close attention. Now, what in the world are we talking about? First, we see that the decree of God was ordained in eternity, but is executed in time. Take your Bibles now and turn to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, where we see the death of Christ mentioned. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now turn again to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 through 20, where we read these words. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, listen now, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now let's pay close attention. This means that the coming, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the coming again of our Lord Jesus was purposed by God in eternity, But it took place at the exact time that our Lord decreed, and it will take place again when our Lord comes back at the exact time that our Lord has decreed. You and I don't know when that time is, but I want to tell you right now, God does. Now hold your seat as I give you another truth concerning the decree of God. God's decree not only included the death of Christ, but it also included the salvation of all God's elect. This means that a man cannot be saved as man wills, but only as God wills. Today, as I've mentioned before, we hear this so often. God has done all He can do, now the rest is up to you. This statement is heretical, false, and God-dishonoring, as well as sealing a sinner in rebellion. Instead, the truth of the matter is this. No man can come to Christ except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I shall raise him up at the last day. In Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, we read again, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Now before you jump up and down in rebellion and disrepute, I want you to just stop and think for a moment when you talk about God's mercy. People are so quick to say, well, God is not fair. My friend, God is fair, because it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. It's because of the Lord's mercy right now that everybody is not in hell. It's because of the Lord's mercy that you're not in hell. And don't you jump up and down and say, well, God isn't fair, because God is fair. My Lord has mercy on whom He will have mercy. Now, what in the world does this mean? This means that every soul who is ever saved is saved as the Lord directs, and also is saved according to the timetable of God. Now, what about you, my radio friend? Do you know Christ is your Lord and Savior at this hour? If you don't, don't presume that you have forever to come to the Lord God of heaven. Our Lord may just pass you by, and if He does, no amount of pleading on your part will change His decree. It's your responsibility to find out if you're one of God's elect, and the only way you'll ever find out is for you to take your place before the Lord God of heaven as a poor, lost, hell-deserving beggar of a sinner, and plead for God to have mercy upon you, and then to your absolute amazement, you'll find out that He will. Now let's look at the decree of God again for just a moment. In the salvation of His elect, God has determined the time and the method of salvation from which there is no deviation. The time is now, as the Scripture bears out. John 5:25 declares these words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." The method of salvation is repentance and faith, as the Scripture bears out in Acts chapter 20 and 21, where we read, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the ordained method of God, and nothing else will suffice. Now I'm going to ask you a question at this hour. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, this is God's decree. And then we find also that God works all things after the counsel of His will. This means that there is no surprise with the Lord God of heaven. There's no crisis with Him. God is never in a hurry, but He's always on time. Now, you and I are creatures of time. Therefore, we need to turn to the Lord God of heaven and come to know Him as our absolute Redeemer, Savior, Friend, and Lord. You see, He's our Lord, whether we get saved or whether we die and go to hell. Now, you're going to carry out God's purpose for you, and God has a purpose at this present hour for you. People have often asked me, well, Pastor, what in the world am I here for? Well, we always tell them, you're here for three reasons. Number one, you are here to know God. Number two, you are here to enjoy God. And then number three, you are here to glorify God forever and ever. And this comes as first you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Now, we are living in days of crisis and strain. People are wondering what's going to happen. People have worried and they're crying out, where is God at this hour? My friend, I want to tell you again, God's still on the throne. He still knows what's taking place. His omniscient eye is watching over it. His omnipotence is keeping it in control. And we find God is working all things after the counsel of His will. Yea, He has created all things, even the wicked, for the day of evil. And we need to understand that. And beloved, when we recognize that all things are under the control of the Lord God of heaven, I'll tell you right now, it ought to put some intestinal fortitude in your backbone, and ever as a believer, it ought to make you rejoice, because when these things begin to come to pass, and they are, our Lord has told us, when these things begin to come to pass, then lift up and look up. Lift up your eyes and look up, and behold, because your redemption, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, is drawing nigh. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know this great God? You see, God's going to carry out His purpose in your life, whether or not you ever get converted. The greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to stop by your heart's door and to reach down and save you. Now some of you at this hour, you don't know Him. You don't know Christ. And in this closing moment, you ought to know, ask yourself this question. Do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? The only way for you to be saved is by repentance and faith. You've got to turn your back upon yourself, the world, and your sin. And you've got to set your face like a flint to find the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, my friend, you've got to come to the Lord God of heaven as a poor, lost beggar of a sinner, begging for the Lord to have mercy upon you, and keep begging Him until He does. When this takes place, my friend, you'll find out that this great God, this God that we've been talking about, this omniscient God and omnipotent God, is a God who deigns to dwell within you, and with the Holy Spirit will take up His residence in your heart when the Lord saves you. As I've said before, we'll say again, and we can never get over it, the greatest thing that can ever happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus Christ to stop by your heart's door and then come in and redeem you. Oh, if you don't know this God, I urge you at this hour, you seek Him until you find Him. If you do know the Lord God of heaven, let me urge you to walk closely with Him, closer than ever in these days. And until we meet again, may the Lord spare you. This is Pastor Peter North here, saying goodbye at this time.